legendary 77 WABC radio studios in the center of the universe, New York City. It's the Rob Bartlett Radio Comedy Hour starring Rob Bartlett. And now, here's your host, Rob Bartlett.
Yeah. Where's Robbio?
Huh?
He's, oh my God. I just noticed he's not here.
Oh, yeah. He had a gig up in Seven Angels in Waterbury tonight, I think.
Oh, that's right.
So we get to run the show. The boss ain't here. It's party time.
Hello. Baby.
I don't think we should do that. I don't feel right about it.
Mandy, come on. Don't be such a buzzkill. We have an hour of broadcast radio to fill. He's not here, so it's up to us to step in.
Okay. All right. I could be the guest host. You know?
Yeah, well, no, I was thinking maybe I would do it. I don't get used nearly enough.
Yeah, me too. I mean, I got a Miss Winnie I can do.
Yeah, I got a Ron Howard thing. I mean, Rob didn't think it was funny enough, but, you know, I figured maybe I could.
Well, to be honest with you, I can't remember the last time I did a Pantyhose Thompson bit.
Yeah, and I got a stack of scripts, you know. I mean, it's really, really funny stuff, but he gave a thumbs down to it.
Okay, welcome to the Rob Bartlett Radio Comedy Hour. I am not Rob Bartlett. I'm Steve Mecca, actor, singer, recording engineer, musician, songwriter, and I'll be your host tonight. I'd like to start off with a song I wrote about a guy who thought he was going to put the move on my girlfriend, but...
Hey. What's going on?
Hey, Rob.
Did you guys start the show without me?
No, it was Steve's idea.
Yeah, I can't believe you did that.
Nice.
I called before from the car.
Nice,
I told you there was traffic on the Triborough Bridge, and I was on my way, play an old bit, and by the time it was over, I'd be there to start the live show.
If we forgot.
We're going to have a production meeting after the show tonight. We're going to get a few things straight.
Yeah, well, it was all Andrew's idea.
What?
Yeah.
I'm not surprised.
That was it. Yep.
I'm not surprised.
What do you mean you're not surprised?
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Rob Bartlett Radio Comedy Hour. I am Rob Bartlett, and this is my comedy hour. Get it? My comedy hour. I just got in from a gig at Seven Angels Theater tonight, and it was a killer show. You should have been there. But you know, if you're on Long Island next month, Thanksgiving weekend, I'll be at the new My Father's Place at the Roslyn Hotel November 24th.
Wait, so what time was your show tonight?
Started at 8, was done around 9:30.
And it only took you a little over a half an hour to get down here to New York.
I drive fast.
You really want to try to continue that charade that this is not a pre-recorded show and that we're doing this the Monday before your gig at Seven Angels Theater, which was supposedly tonight?
So, how was everybody's week?
Well, it was great. Yeah. Great week.
Well, you have nothing to share? Well, you know what? It's fine because you know what? I'll tell you what I did. I went to the ballet.
Oh.
Because, I'll tell you why. I couldn't find a ball-peen hammer big enough to smack myself in the scrotum.
Why?
I love doing that. It's my favorite game.
Yeah, that's what I would have done. Because believe me, it would have been less painful than going to the ballet. I don't get the ballet. I just don't get it. Why not just get taller dancers? I just don't get it.
Did you see anybody you knew?
Where, at the ballet?
Yeah.
Yeah, I really travel in the ballet circles. Yeah, I saw Misha. Jesus God. Well, you know, Halloween is coming up. Just a couple of days, four days, I think, and it's a painful memory for me, and I just wanted to share this with you guys. I don't think I've ever told anybody this story. When I was a kid, I guess 5 or 6, and I had a Superman costume because Superman was the big TV show when I was a kid. And, you know, I wore the cape and everything. It was the greatest costume in the world. And my mother made me wear a hat because it was cold.
Oh, so funny.
Which just totally ruined
that
the whole Superman thing. Wait, it gets better. It gets better.
It gets super hat.
Even worse.
Superman with a hat.
We used to go, because we lived in a dead-end street. There were no other houses but us. Our house was like in the middle of all these factories. There was like a glass factory. There was a fertilizer factory at our house. So... we used to go to my grandmother's neighborhood in the other side of Flatbush on Quentin Road, and it was a regular neighborhood, so it was like 10, 15 blocks of just houses. Well, there was something going on, I can't remember, I've blotted out of my mind what was going on the actual Halloween day, which was the next day, so we weren't going to be able to trick-or-treat. So my parents brought me to my grandmother's neighborhood the day before Halloween in my costume and had me trick-or-treating on the day before Halloween. I was going door to door, strangers' houses, trick-or-treat. And I saw, kid, it's tomorrow. Yeah, well, tomorrow we can't go because there's something going on. Since you have any candy? Needless to say, I didn't really make that. But see, this is the reason.
You're wearing a hat?
And I'm wearing a hat as Superman on top of all that. It was just, that's the reason why I'm in show business, because I was stunted for life by this horrifying experience.
Trying to make it up for your entire life.
It's just the worst. I mean, it's just the things that the parents do. But you know what? I've been reading the Sally Field autobiography and the stuff that happened to her. Holy God. I mean, that's why she's such a great actress. So I'm thinking, this is probably just a background for my,
I don't know, Superman
my big
in
time
a hat.
Career, acting career. I saw just, what was your favorite Halloween costume when you guys were growing up? What did you used to?
Go ahead, Whitney.
I was just going to say, well, we didn't really have money, so I was a gypsy probably like 7 times, which really was just like throw on all my mom's jewelry and all her scarves and make it work. But once I was a serial killer, which was 2 cereal boxes, one on front, one on back with plastic little butter knives stabbed into them. That was my favorite.
Irony. I like that.
Oh, man.
That's really great.
We did tramp a lot.
Tramp, yeah. That was just an excuse to wear your grandfather's old coat and jacket. You know,
my favorite is the one that I'm actually going to reprise this year when we're all hanging out. I was my own pinky. And I wore a pinky.
Whoa, 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 whoa.
You were your own finger?
Yeah.
Finger?
My own pinky, who I named Lola when I was little. She was my more confident alter ego.
And she was a finger.
She was a finger.
Did you have the rest of the hand with you?
I did. So my costume was just a big pink tube with a little pink tip with a hole cut out for my face.
Uh-huh.
And then my mom, to make it look less like something I didn't know it looked like, made an attachable 4 fingers that I could bring around with me to school. But it kept getting stuck in between the desks and everything, so I had to take it off. And then I got in big trouble, and I got sent home.
How come?
Because they thought I was being obscene.
Did you go trick-or-treating in this costume?
I did.
So you went door-to-door, basically dressed as a penis.
I did, and I got a door slammed in my face. I fell because I had to waddle. Because it was a tube. Because
you had your testicles, obviously. You tripped over your testicles.
Yeah, wow. But I'm going to do it again this year.
When I think of all the politically incorrect costumes that I wore when I was a kid, because, you know, 60s is very, very different. I think I went as a Chinese coolie one year.
Coolie?
Yeah. What's a coolie?
It's like a, I don't know, what would you call it?
A worker.
It's rice paddy worker.
Oh, wow.
With like the straw, you know, hat.
Yeah. I guess you can get away with that back
glasses,
then, huh?
Those plastic glasses that had the little slits in them so it looked like you had, almond eyes. And
wow.
I cringe when I think about, because, but you know, in those days, you could call them Orientals. I mean, and everyone thought it was just like, fine. Just fine. I mean, I had a Chinese friend, Stu Wu, who didn't talk to me for about a year after that, but everyone else thought it was great. So I saw a thing online, inappropriate children's costumes. I don't know what these parents are thinking. Hitler. They actually dressed a 4-year-old kid as Hitler.
Yeah.
They dressed a kid up as a condom. You know, the rapper with the condom. It was another kid, a little girl. She couldn't have been more than 3 years old. A Hooters waitress. I mean, it was just like
You can get away with it at that age, you know, for them. You know, you can just
right.
It's just sick. It's just sick. What was your strategy to get candy? You didn't have a strategy?
I was the worst.
See, I used to try to make friends with somebody who lived in an apartment building, because then I would be able to like do the whole apartment building in one shot inside, so I wouldn't have to wear my hat when I had my Superman costume. And then you'd separate the of course, bring the bag back, and the parents had to separate, you know. Oh, no, that's bad. No, that's not good for you. No, that's bad for you. Meanwhile, the things they were taking out were all the things that they liked, all the good things. I got left with a Slowpoke and a Nutty Buddy.
That's why I didn't like going trick-or-treating.
Because it was always that one house that had the really awful stuff, and it was always like from last year.
I got Pennies.
Pennies was always the bad one. But then there was always the old lady who had the little dish on her piano with the doily underneath it that had the hard candies in them that weren't wrapped, and they were kind of fused together.
That's
and then
true.
She would like bring out the little dish and say, take one. And you go to pick it up, and the whole bowl, because they would all melt together, would all come out at the same time and just...
Baked goods.
Baked goods,
anything
yes.
baked was like, what?
Just
what
give
are you
me
doing?
The good stuff.
Well, we had fun Saturday, because last Saturday, because we taped the new Ruthless Spectator special.
So much fun.
The Ruthless Spectator Christmas special,
awesome.
Which will be coming to you soon, ladies and gentlemen. You'll be able to see it on Amazon and on DVD, and we got some great sketches, some really funny stuff. And Salmonella's Night Before Christmas in Brooklyn Ooh, will be on it. And yeah. a brand new original mini Christmas musical. We had a lot of fun. I enjoyed it. Anyway, we got a great show for you tonight. We have the next installment of Death Can Kill. That's the serial murder mystery set in the circus world. Another edition of Ask Gary Busey. The triumphant return of Mandy Pantyhose Thompson with some Halloween hacks for you. But let's meet our cast, the Robbio Radio Players. My co-writer, formerly of Saturday Night Live, and a man who actually wrote a screenplay for a Barbra Streisand movie and a Madonna movie and worked at The View and, in the face of all that adversity, despite all odds, survived. He's lived to tell the tale. Please welcome Mr. Andrew Smith.
Love women.
And then we have a truly gifted musical theater actress whose resume includes starring roles in Next to Normal, Putnam County Spelling Bee, Doubt, Proof, a woman who critics have called an utterly convincing spitfire, Miss Mandy Lee Pantyhose Thompson.
Yeah, what a compliment.
Actor, singer, composer, our engineer, resident dreamboat, and backstabbing ingrate who wanted to take over the show tonight, Mr. Steve Mecca. New York theater actress, writer, director. You've seen her in the award-winning short The Weight of a Feather. She's about to start principal photography in a new original film.
Yes.
This lady is F-I-E-R-C-E amazing. Ms. Whitney Johnson.
Hey,
and our senior cast member who's been with the organization for a number of years, a founding member of the Ruthless Spectator Comedy Sketch website, and soon to be seen in the aforementioned Ruthless Spectator Christmas special coming to Amazon and DVD, Ms. Megan Simard.
Megan.
Now, we...
I wonder who that could be at the door, she said, knowing full well who it will be, because we've used this device almost every episode since we started.
Hello, everyone.
Yoko Ono.
Yes, it's me, back again, as omnipresent as acid reflux.
It's so good to see you again, Yoko.
Thank you, Megan.
Mandy.
Yes, of course. I'm on my way to the Whitney Museum. I never knew you had a museum, Whitney. I'm loading in my newest art installation. It's a bas-relief.
Bas-relief?
Yes. It's a type of sculpture that has less depth to the faces and figures than they actually have when measured proportionally to scale. It allows the work to be viewed from many angles without distortion of the figures themselves.
And what is the subject?
The cast members of Saved by the Bell. The representation of Screech is uncanny, although not quite as lifelike as the Mr. Belding, if I do say so myself. You can literally almost hear him saying, hey, 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 what's going on here?
Hey, how about you? You got any haikus for us, Yoko?
Well, I thought it might be a positive and informative experience if I taught you all how to write one.
Taught us how to write a haiku? Really?
The ancient Japanese poetry form of blank verse?
Featuring three lines totaling 17 syllables?
5, 7, and 5, right?
Yes.
How do we do that?
Well, you usually observe striking images in nature and find some connection between them and paint an image of that in words. Like this. Even in twilight, the sun gives way to shadow. Time for jeopardy.
Amazing. Amazing.
Now you try one, Stephen.
Almost had a chance to host this show on my own, but then Rob showed up.
So poignant. Not a lot of nature in that one, but heartfelt. Megan?
Mandy.
Yes, of course.
I am excited because tonight I will do Pantyhose Thompson.
A little self-serving. You could have added some raindrops or lotus blossoms in there somewhere, but okay. Whitney?
Okay. I really don't know why Rob thinks no one's aware he's really Yoko.
Way to break down that fourth wall, Whitney.
Well, with all due respect, I really just have to say, no one's buying it.
I guess it's time for me to go.
Good call.
Let me leave you with an inspiring bit of verse I wrote. It's called, Shave Your Back for Peace. Yoko Ono, everybody!
Hey, Yoko!
You're not fooling anyone, you know.
Be that as it may, we want to remind you that if for any reason you don't hear the entire show, this is our 18th episode, you just go to ogpodcast.com because they're all there waiting for you. If you subscribe, they'll automatically be downloaded to your computer the minute it's over. You go right to OG Podcast Network, and it'll be sitting right there for you. So you can share it with your friends. This is one of the services we do for you.
Yeah.
You know, I'm a giver. You can also get it up on iTunes, Google Play, and Stitcher, wherever you get your podcasts. So obviously, like, not the butcher or, you know,
the cobbler,
a Hallmark store. Which, by the way, I went to buy some thank you cards. You know, I bought like 4 thank you cards. It was like $60. I mean, what is the deal?
No, suddenly cards have gotten very expensive.
Well, I don't get it. I mean, and it's just, why, just so you get some bad poetry and a picture of a flower? It just, I don't know. It really annoyed me. And then they want you to join the Hallmark Club. You know, join the club, and then that way you'll get, if you buy enough cards, you'll get like a discounted. That's the last thing I want. That's the last thing I want, because you know what? I'm afraid they'll start sending me those Hallmark specials, those Christmas specials, those really hideous Hallmark Christmas specials, like the one with Rosie O'Donnell, where she played the...
Careful, Megan loves those.
Yeah, I know, but... I know, but I mean, they're just so... I mean, it's always the single mom, and then she goes back home to try and, you know, fix something that happened, and now she's, you know, doing her best and falls in love with the guy who's the caretaker of the property where they're building the new cabin, and then he winds up talking to Santa Claus at the mall.
There are people who pay for this master class. You guys are getting, you know, you guys are getting the formula right here on the Rob Bartlett Radio Comedy.
I know exactly what the
write
formula is.
Write your own Hallmark movie.
There's always an African-American best friend. I mean, it's literally, it's like Mad Libs. Yeah, they just plug in these different names and these different locations. One time it's Vermont. One time it's Iowa. It's just, they're the worst.
Sign up for Rob's Hallmark Masterclass.
That's right. My Hallmark Masterclass. I'll teach you how not to buy cards, but you can make your own Halloween.
Halloween Hallmark.
Do they have a Halloween Hallmark?
They should.
I don't know.
I'd watch that.
It's too scary for them.
Yeah.
Is that like the Reader's Digest of movie studios?
Save that for Lifetime.
We're going to take a short break. We'll be back right after this message from the sponsors. Don't forget, I'm going to be at My Father's Place, the brand new My Father's Place, the legendary nightclub of yore is back, and it's still in Roslyn, but it's at the Roslyn Hotel, and it's a much classier joint, and a great, great sound system. Epi Epstein is there. He's just as well, he's in captivity. Epi Epstein is live in captivity. He's an amazing human. He'll be there. So that'll be Thanksgiving weekend, Saturday, November 24th, My Father's Place, which will be your only opportunity to see and hear Salmonella's Night Before Christmas in Brooklyn. So stick around. We got a lot more show here on the Rob Bartlett Radio Comedy Hour on 77 WABC. Back to the Rob Bartlett Radio Comedy Hour. I am Rob Bartlett, and this is my Radio Comedy Hour. It's an hour. It's just an hour. We have a great show for you tonight. We got a lot of stuff. Hopefully, we'll get to all of it. If not, we're just going to push it off until next week because, you know, volume, volume, volume. That's what we do here. We want to get as much of the humor content into one show as humanly possible. We want it to be jam-packed with yucks. And sometimes there are just so many yucks, we have to bump some yucks to another show. I'm very happy to announce our old friend and loyal sponsor. I know we just came out of spots, but we have my favorite sponsor. I mean, hands down, Mr. Bud Spurlow. He's got a new enterprise, a holiday business venture. Bud Spurlow's Halloween Candy Bar.
Whoa.
All right.
Let's listen.
happy Halloween. It's Buzz Burlow. It's that time of year when all the spooky spooks, witchy witches, and scary monsters come out looking for candy. But it must be a trick. How much them treats cost?
I just love to see the little ones all dressed up in their costumes. Dracula, Wonder Woman, little baby pumpkin heads. Once, I had a 4-year-old come to my door looking like Walter White from Breaking Bad, bald cap, test tube, and everything. But I don't want my trailer to get egged just because I ain't got no candy to give them. But even them bags of fun-size M&Ms cost a pretty penny.
You know what they get for a Zagnut these days? Pert near 75 cents a piece. And I got a lot of kids in my neighborhood, so if I had to buy them a candy bar for every one of them come knocking, I wouldn't be able to afford to put Halloween dinner on the table.
Welcome to Bud Spurlow's Halloween Barn. I got nut goodies, goo goo clusters, bit of honeys, all your favorite candy treats, and all for the lowest prices available, and that ain't no trick.
My little Daryl looks forward to Halloween every year. Started around Valentine's Day, he plans on what he's going to dress up to go trick-or-treating as. Last year, he went as a Hooters waitress, had a pair of orange shorts, t-shirt tied up front. His attention to detail is inspiring. But to go through all that effort and then go to somebody's house just to find they ain't got no treats? Well, that's just disheartening. That's what it is. But you know how much candy is these days? No, I'm actually asking. I really don't know how much it is. My wife does all the shopping.
Look, this big case of Big Hunks, just $4. I got a gross of Charleston Chews for $3. I got a sack of Mary Jane's, 7,500 count, just $1.99. Now, I know you're saying, Bud, how do you do it?
Bud, how do you do it?
Easy. I go right to them surplus warehouses. They're a treasure trove of unbought sweet treats. They may be a couple of years old, but that just means they're well-aged. And you know, when you get an aged steak, that's the finest beef you can buy. I'm able to get tons of candy at a fraction of the wholesale price and pass the savings on to you.
I ain't seen them chocolate cigarettes since I was a little girl. And I get such a special thrill out of dropping a pack or two in my trick-or-treater sacks. Bud Spurlow's Halloween Barns got them for less than they cost back when they were still allowed on the market.
I got Necco wafers, Coconut Boys, Sky Bars, them orange circus peanuts that don't taste like oranges or peanuts, Bazooka Gum that's a little on the hard side, but you suck on them for a little bit, they eventually come back enough so you can blow bubbles with them. And they still got them comics on the wrapper.
I used to get so excited whenever I get one of them pixie sticks in my trick-or-treat bag, and Bud's got them again. You kind of have to work them a bit with your finger to loosen the sugar in them enough so you can pour them in your mouth, but as long as I give my trick-or-treaters a handful, I know I can keep my maple tree toilet paper free.
Anybody can give the children Butterfingers, Kit Kats, or Sour Patch Kids, but when I can offer them cute little scamps on my front lawn a pack of them wax cola bottles with the fruit-flavored syrup inside, it's like I'm also giving them a history lesson.
Plus, with every purchase, you get a free 30-pound bag of candy corn. Now, I know you're saying, Bud, is candy all you got?
Bud, is candy all you got?
Heck no! Located right next door to Bud Spurlow's Halloween Barn is Bud Spurlow's hideous haunted Halloween House of Horrors, the most terrifying attraction in the tri-state area. Walk through the various rooms and be filled with fear at all the demons inside. We got the Yankee lawyer next door neighbor, the beer distributor what run out of PBR, and the mother-in-law who's moving in. And if that don't chill your blood, you're already cold-blooded.
It were dark inside, and this undead banker jump out at me with a foreclosure notice? I was so scared, I peed myself a little. But I covered it up by spilling some Mountain Dew on my Daisy Dukes.
That's Bud Spurlow's Halloween Barn and hideous haunted house of Halloween horrors, just a half a mile before the off-ramp of the Midas Peak Expressway, directly across from Purvis Putney's Pumpkin Patch and Carson Casey's Costume Kingdom. Remember, if you didn't get your Halloween candy and scares at Bud Spurlow's, you probably got it somewhere else.
You know, say what you want about Bud, but he's got his finger on the pulse of consumer America.
He does.
Yeah. He sees a need in the marketplace. He fills it.
Yeah. Every time.
See, that's entrepreneurism in America. Now, a few weeks ago, we introduced a new segment to the Rob Bartlett Radio Comedy Hour featuring the great actor, musician, director, and philosopher, Gary Busey. It's called Ask Gary Busey, and Gary takes emails or letters or posts from the website where people ask for relationship advice, and he offers it to them using his Buseyisms, the Buseyism anagram technique. And he's so great, and we got such a great response from it, we decided to have him back. And so here is Ask Gary Busey.
Welcome to Ask Gary Busey with actor, author, and philosopher Gary Busey. Each week, Gary takes correspondence from listeners who are looking for advice and counsel on how to make their love life better through the wisdom of Gary Busey. And now, here's Gary.
Thank you, Shalimar. You are nuts.
Excuse me?
Nuts. Naturally unique, terrific spirit.
Oh, that's better.
Better. Bringing everything to task, enhancing relationships.
Thanks.
Thanks. Testifying how angels nourish kindred spirits.
Okay. I think we're good now. Let's begin. So this is an email from Robert D'Amico who writes, Dear Gary Busey, my wife and I have been married for over 50 years. What can I do to keep the fire burning?
Well, Robert, first you must acknowledge that wife stands for wanted in forever eternity. And eternity is a very long time. Eternity is approximately how long it would take for a monkey hitting keys at random on a typewriter until he types the complete works of Shakespeare. Which is a fallacy because monkeys don't speak English. They're actually much better at math. Math. Mastering arithmetic tortures humans.
So what do you suggest Mr. D'Amico do to keep his wife happy?
He has to realize that a relationship is really exciting love affair turning into overwhelming nightmare so hateful it's pathetic.
Okay. Our next note comes from...
It's also important to note that if a monkey can be taught how to add, it's not inconceivable to assume that horses can become proficient in long division. On the other hand, while cats are excellent spellers, dogs are much better at grammar. And just as one would suppose, tortoises are quite adept at history, as the average lifespan of a tortoise is over 100 years, so they would be witness to quite a lot of history firsthand.
Yes, they would. Okay, this is from Mallory, who lives in West Virginia. Mallory writes, Dear Gary Busey, I want children, but my boyfriend has no interest in starting a family. What should I do?
Well, Mallory, a child is candid, honesty, and loving doses. But a baby is being a beautiful you. Perhaps you could convince your boyfriend that having a child is really a reincarnation of himself. Unless, of course, you have a girl, which would belie the fact that your boyfriend is a man. Although, if the baby were to grow up to be a lesbian... Lesbian. Loving every boy is abnormal nonsense.
That's quite a... how do you come up with these clever acronyms?
They just come to me, Shalimar. They pop in my head from time to time like an unannounced visitor bringing an assortment of pastry. Pastry. Perfectly acceptable sweets to restore you.
Brilliant, Gary. Our last question comes from Anonymous.
No doubt named after the ancient Greek philosopher Anonymous.
I didn't know there was a philosopher named Anonymous.
Well, that's because he was a very humble person, Shalimar. He never took credit for anything. Although now, after 2,000 years, you do see many wise sayings and quotes attributed to him.
Okay, anyway, Anonymous writes, Dear Gary Busey, I am a 37-year-old man and still a virgin. I can't seem to be able to find a woman willing to have sex with me. What should I do? Well, Gary, what is your reaction to this poor man's situation?
Laugh.
Laugh? But, I mean, it's kind of tragic, right? He's 37 and has never...
Laugh. Loving and understanding goofy humans. Mr. Anonymous, it's been my experience that women are most attracted to a man with a sense of humor. Studies have shown that laughter is the greatest aphrodisiac. It's been said that Bozo the Clown slept with over 10,000 women in his lifetime, a fact which I am particularly surprised by, as I never found him all that funny. But then again, I have a personal rule against having sex with clowns, a rule which I have only broken once, I think.
All right, I think that's all the time we have for today.
Join us next time for some more bull.
Pardon?
Bull, bringing up life lessons. Wait a second, is that a unicorn in the control room?
Can someone bring Mr. Busey's meds, please?
Thank you, Gary. You know what that is? That's precision. That's craft. Well, we're going to take a short break. Don't go away. We got a lot more show ahead. A lot of fun stuff. We have another exciting episode of Death Can Kill, the most deadly show on earth, in the circus. We got some other fun stuff to share with you. Don't forget, I'm going to be doing a very, very special Thanksgiving weekend holiday show, Thanksgiving, Christmas, returning to my roots, Long Island, at the new My Father's Place. the new My Father's Place, located still in Roslyn, but now it's at the Roslyn Hotel. It's a much classier joint. And so now, as we're much older people, we won't have to worry about sitting in an old bowling alley to watch comedy or music. So that's November 24th. I'll be doing the Night Before Christmas in Brooklyn. We're going to have a lot of fun, so don't forget to go see that, or you're going to miss out, and you don't want to do that. Also, if you've missed any of the show, you want to catch up, check out the podcast on ogpodcastnetwork.com, also iTunes, also Google Play, also Stitcher, and we are on Spotify, so catch up, would you? We'll be right back with more of the Rob Bartlett Radio Comedy Hour right here on WABC 77. Welcome back. Welcome back to the Rob Bartlett Radio Comedy Hour. I am Rob Bartlett, and this is my Radio Comedy Hour. When we first started doing this show, when it was just a podcast before WABC gave us Saturday nights at 10 p.m., we had started a reality series based on those true crime shows like Dateline, Murder Mysteries, and we called it Death Can Kill, which is about as real and true a statement as you can get on a reality series. We started a new story last week about a serial killer on the loose in a circus called The Deadliest Show on Earth. And here's episode two. Last week on Death Can Kill, we learned that the Bilbo Brothers Traveling Circus had been rocked by two murders. One of beloved Wiggles the Clown, who'd been drowned with his own seltzer, and one of lion tamer Gunther the Great, whose severed head was found in the mouth of Dumba, his prized West African lion. Then, Tony Zamboni, one of the members of the Flying Zamboni's Trapeze Act, plummeted to his death, his trapeze bar apparently having been greased, making Rodolfo, the tightrope walker, alienist! Aerialist, who used oil in his trademark shiny hairstyle. It's not oil! It's a pomade! And made him a chief suspect. Detective Diane Hooper suspected that the same person who drowned the clown also murdered the lion tamer and the trapeze artist. After sending a sample of the foreign substance from the trapeze bar to the lab for forensic testing, she brought Rodolfo in for questioning.
Okay, Rodolfo, come clean.
What? You mean you want me to shampoo my hair? But the shine is my trademark.
No, I mean, where were you on the night Wiggles was drowned with his own seltzer?
I'd rather not say.
Tell me.
I was with a woman. Two women, actually.
Pervert? Two women?
Well, they are Burmese twins. Like Siamese twins, but from different fathers. Daisy and Maisie Nightingale. I was making love to Daisy.
And she'll corroborate your story?
No, she is discreet. But her sister, Maisie, might. She was also there. The sisters are quite attracted to each other. Literally.
How about Zamboni? Is the lab going to tell me the grease on the trapeze bar is yours?
It's not grease! It's a pomade!
After the lab report came back positive for grease, not pomade...
Thank you!
Detective Hooper began bringing all the members of the Bilbo Circus in for questioning.
I started with Joni Zamboni, the sister of the fallen Tony Zamboni.
Why would I want to kill my brother? Or Gunther? He was an animal lover. Or Wiggles? I was just a sweet, lovable
that she was so emotionally unstable, I had my doubts about her. But I continued to go through the list of all the performers. I called in Dmitry Mitsnetsky, the hard-of-hearing human cannonball.
It's an occupational hazard! The cannon fire is so loud!
Although he was the one who discovered Wiggles' body, he supposedly hadn't heard Zamboni and Gunther had been killed.
I hear very little. You know, because of cannon fire...
Next, I called in Wanda Larynx, the sword swallower. She was very popular with the audiences, as well as most of the male members of the circus.
I couldn't have committed the murders. I can't stand the sight of dead bodies or blood. I'm squeamish. It makes me gag. We're just saying something because I was born without a gag reflex.
Everyone seemed to have airtight alibis. Even the knife thrower.
Hugo, the armless knife thrower, and his wife Zelda were known to have marital problems.
She spun around on a turntable while he threw knives at her, with his feet, wearing a blindfold. You do the math.
But unlike most knife throwers, Hugo's blindfold had holes in it, unlike his alibi.
The knife throwing gig doesn't pay that much, so in the off season I moonlight as a real estate agent. I had open houses the three times the murders occurred. Oh, are you looking to downsize? I have a lovely fixer-upper opportunity.
The last of the interviews was with those Burmese twin sisters, Daisy and Maisie Nightingale. I couldn't have possibly have committed any of those murders. I couldn't hurt a fly.
Maisie's as scared as a little mouse.
Daisy, don't say that word.
Mouse.
Daisy, stop.
Just the sight of one makes a faint scaredy cat afraid of a little mouse.
Daisy, stop it. I have musophobia.
What's that?
A paralyzing fear of mice. Just the sight of one makes me faint. I pass out.
Seeing as you'd never find one of them without the other, it was pretty unlikely either one of them committed the murders. They're a matched set. But one thing was for sure. Three circus people had been killed. But by who?
You mean by whom?
Oh, yeah, right. Sorry.
But just when the grammatically challenged Detective Hooper thought she was at a dead end, one of the acts came forward with some interesting information. Jojo, the horse-faced boy.
I think I know who the murderer is. Hugo, the armless knife thrower.
But then Hugo, inconveniently, turned up dead.
Tune in next time when we hear Detective Hooper say,
he was trampled by Petunia, the pulchritudinous pachyderm, the Bilbo Circus prized elephant.
He couldn't even raise his hands to stop her because he didn't have any hands. You would have thought with all those overdeveloped muscles he had in his feet from the knife throwing, he would have been able to outrun her.
You were wrong, Jojo. But don't be sad. Hey, why the long face?
All of this and more on the next Death Can Kill, the deadliest show on Earth. You know, I get so swept up in that thing that I lose myself.
Oh, yeah.
And I know what's coming because Andrew and I write it. Well, it's Halloween time, and we thought we would give you, the listener, some helpful hints and tips on modern living during the Halloween season. And with that in mind, we thought we'd call on our old friend, Pantyhose Thompson, to see what's new for Halloween. Yeah. Please welcome Mandy Pantyhose Thompson.
Thanks for having me back, Rob. Let me start by giving you a little traditional Minnesota hello.
Hello, don't you know?
Hello, Pantyhose.
Oh, I'm so excited. Not just to be here, but because it's almost Halloween. By the way, do you know what a sad ghost says on Halloween, Rob?
No. What?
Boo hoo. Get it? That's a little Minnesota humor straight from the heartland, don't you know?
Gee, that's great. Couldn't see that coming.
We got a million of them in St. Paul. Well, seeing as how Halloween is getting to be such a big holiday, I've asked my dear friends, Megan and Whitney, to give me a hand in demonstrating to you all the wonderful and exciting things you can do to make it the best Halloween ever. By using...
pantyhose.
Nope. Pantyhose. Right, ladies?
Yeah. I think that's the next holiday tradition. Right up there with eggnog at Christmas.
Yeah. Okay, so what tips do you have for us, Mandy?
Well, when you send the kids out for trick-or-treating, don't give them just a silly old sack or bag. Give them a pair of pantyhose. It's perfect for trick-and-treating. You know why? Because you got your two legs, okay? One for the good candy and one for the other. For everything that some bad people give you. That weird taffy stuff and them marshmallow peanuts. And, of course, those apples with the razor blades in them.
So why not just, you know, throw out the bad and dangerous candy then?
Silly goose. It's all loot. You gotta take the good with the bad. You just keep the harmful stuff separate. So when you get home, you tie off the leg with all the popcorn balls and those hard candies your grandma keeps in her purse and the Snickers with the rusty hypodermic needles stuck in them. And you just snip it off the pear. Give them a good chuck in the wastebasket and hunker down on the bounty and the good leg.
I can't believe I'm actually saying this, but that almost makes sense.
Yeah, you know, it's kind of weird, but it does, actually.
Well, what other Halloween hacks do you have for us, pantyhose?
Well, I'm pleased as punch you asked, Rob. You can't go trick-or-treating without a costume. Back in Minnesota, what you decide to wear to go from door to door begging for candy is real important. You want to make a good impression to inspire extra handfuls of treats. When I was a little girl, I would always go as a lutefisk.
A lutefisk? I'm afraid to ask.
Lutefisk is a traditional Norwegian dish brought over from the old country to Minnesota. It's dried cod that's been soaked in lye until it obtains a gelatinous texture. Then it's rinsed for a few days in a covered heat-resistance cooking dish for 20 minutes.
I think I just threw up in my mouth a little bit. So you used to dress up like a piece of steamed fish for Halloween. You're kidding, right?
You wouldn't believe the loads of Smarties and sweet tarts and hot cinnamon gummy bears I'd get wearing that costume. But nowadays, you gotta get creative if you wanna own the Halloween handouts. You could go as a ghoul or a goblin or one of those Incredibles, but how about a costume that will set you apart and make a really big impression? One that shows some creativity, which could potentially inspire more candy.
Ooh, like what?
Something scary.
Ooh, a ghost?
Scarier.
A witch.
Even scarier.
Dracula?
How about a kidnapper?
Okay, girl, what the hell are you talking
about? Nothing strikes fear into the heart of a child more than a kidnapper. It's the real-life version of the boogeyman. Pull a pair of pantyhose over your young one's head, and she'll scare the dickens out of all the neighborhood kitties. You threaten to take them away from their mommy and daddy unless they'll give you their candy? You're taking the big haul, sister. Of course, when the kids get older, they can say they're a bank robber who's gonna take them hostage. Now, you all know that pumpkin chunkin's become quite the competitive sport.
Oh, that's when you hurl pumpkins solely by mechanical means for distance.
Oh, yeah, like catapults and pneumatic cannons. And
But golly, are those contraptions expensive to build and unwieldy to take around to all the pumpkin chunkin competitions? So what can you use instead?
Pantyhose.
You'd think so, wouldn't ya? But what if I told ya you could use pantyhose!
I wouldn't be surprised.
Oh, not at this point.
You get two friends to each hold a leg, put your pumpkin in the seat, walk back about 10 or 20 feet, and let her rip. You use the extra strength pantyhose, and you might even break the sound barrier.
Well, I think we're out of time, Pam.
It also works for TPing the houses where they skunk you for the candy. No treat? Okay, fella, here's your trick. Bombs away. Here come the charming grenades.
Pantyhose Thompson, everybody.
Join me next time when I'll show you how you can make oodles of other holiday helpers, like a mesh holder for the giblets from your Thanksgiving turkey. Ooh, and a hat and a scarf combo you can use when Jack Frost starts nipping at your nose on Christmas Eve. Using
pantyhose.
Oh, you little boobykins. No, you use pantyhose.
Pantyhose Thompson, everybody.
Aw, shucks. Thanks, Rob.
What can you say about Mandy Pantyhose Thompson that hasn't already been said about your crazy Aunt Mildred who thinks she's St. Faustina? Don't forget, I'm at the new My Father's Place at Roslyn Hotel on Long Island, Thanksgiving weekend, Saturday, November 24th. And the music means we're about done for the week. I want to thank you all for tuning in every week. If you missed anything, go to OG Podcast Network or iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher. Now on Spotify, you can download tonight's show. Our program is produced by Gary Grant and me, Rob Bartlett, written by Andrew Smith and me, Rob Bartlett, featuring Megan Samard, Andrew Smith, Mandy Lee Thompson,
yeah.
Backstabber Steve Mecca, Whitney Johnson,
yeah.
And me, Rob Bartlett. Original music composed by Gary Grant and Steve Mecca. Engineering by Steve Mecca. Directed by Gary Grant. No animals were harmed in the recording of this program. Follow us on Instagram, Rob Bartlett Radio Comedy, and on Twitter, @TheRobbio. Come see us at my father's place at the Roslyn Hotel, the reincarnation of the legendary Long Island Club, better than ever. Epi Epstein's still there in the flesh, the most unique human in captivity. We'll see you next week, everybody, for another episode of Rob Bartlett Radio Comedy Hour right here on 77 WABC.